The topic of artificial intelligence can be discussed from a number of viewpoints, including philosophically, technically, and theologically. Our guest today, Dr. John Lennox, can address AI from these points of view. This is the third of three podcasts of the area, and that's what we're going to explore today on Mind Matters.
Welcome to Mind Matters, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head-on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings. Ranging from the use to future impact, the Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence unapologetically embraces a Judeo-Christian perspective concerning the analysis of high technology. Our guest today, Dr. John Lennox, can explore these issues of artificial intelligence from all different perspectives. And this is the third podcast of three that we've had with Dr. Lennox. If you haven't listened to the first two, please go do that because it will give you a background and a further understanding of what we're talking about. And also there'll be a nice introduction to Dr. John Lennox, a very highly credentialed intellectual, both in academia and in Christian apologetics. Dr. Lennox, welcome again.
Thank you. Glad to be with you once more.
Yes, for the third and final time. And as they say, the last shall be first. So we're going to make this the best of the three. One of the things that I don't understand totally is materialists pursuing something called transhumanism from the perspective of AI. I know in Silicon Valley, there's actually been a religion which has been started, which celebrates AI as God. What is transhumanism? What's going on here?
Well, as the word implies, transhuman, beyond human. And I suppose you could describe it as a kind of philosophical movement. And it is in many countries these days, and it is pushing for the transformation of humans by developing and making available sophisticated technologies that will greatly enhance human intellect and physiology. So it's starting with the human and moving beyond it, believing that the human race can go, evolve beyond its current physical and mental limitations, and that we can build technology in to achieve this. That's the basic idea, I think. And of course, AGI is particularly exactly that.
AGI being artificial general intelligence, which we talked about in the first podcast. Yeah, Ray Kurzweil, in some of his interviews and in his first book that he wrote about the singularity, talks about the enhancement that humans will have in the future. I always look at Kurzweil's work with a grain of salt because he always assumes this exponential rise and assumes anything that he can assume. but that's kind of the crux of his work. But he says that someday, you know, we won't need a tongue because we can probably tap right into our taste buds. We won't need a nose because we can actually do artificial noses, which will smell for us, and all of these other things. And I just wonder, I'm not ready for such a transformation myself. I don't want a chip replacing me. I don't want to download myself into some computer and have a bunch of sensors tasting and eating and smelling and for me. So that seems to be a challenge. He also says that we will have all of the knowledge of mankind, all of Wikipedia available to us. And that always seems to me to be kind of a crazy way of thinking. But that is that the concept of transhumanism? Does it embrace this sort of thing?
Well, partly. I think what complicates the discussion is that several things are being thought about. First of all, there's the idea we discussed earlier of downloading whatever we are onto silicon and somehow doing it that way. The other is to keep the biology, but to enhance the biology, to build into it chips, to build into it all kinds of artificial things. And of course, there is a sense in which we're already doing some of that and doing it usefully. I've got a little pipe, a tiny little thing in my heart that's saving my life, and some people have pacemakers and so on. Now, of course, what they're claiming is, at the moment, in the realms of fantasy, except perhaps for one thing. The web could very easily be brought nearer and nearer to us. If you watch people going around the world today, they've got a smartphone up at their ears a lot of the time, or they're watching it. I suspect it won't be long before it's connected to us much more intimately. So certainly they will do some things in that direction. I have no doubt about it whatsoever. People are already, particularly in Sweden for some reason, getting chips put under their skin.
Yes.
So that they can pay for things and all this kind of stuff. So in bits and pieces, people are becoming part biological and part mechanical, which often we describe as a cyborg. So something like this will happen, but whether it'll reach Kurzweil's extent, I doubt. I'm always rather amused at the fact they say this is going to happen within 30 to 50 years. It's always 30 to 50 years.
Exactly. They want to put it, off long enough where they won't be responsible or won't be accountable for their prediction until everybody's forgotten about what they're doing. I always wondered about these chips that people have been implanted in them. I also heard in Estonia they're doing these chip implants, as well as Sweden. Why don't we use biometrics? I mean, there's no reason to actually implant a chip, and I don't think your biometrics can be hacked unless you watch a movie where somebody, in order to get fingerprint access, chops off a dead guy's finger and gets gets access. But the biometrics seem to me to be something which is a lot more reasonable, a lot less intrusive, and I think it would work wonderfully. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know why people are opting toward chips instead of biometrics. So, look, there's nothing new under the sun. I was introduced to your work with artificial intelligence in a talk you gave for RZIM, which is Should We Fear Artificial Intelligence? So nothing is new under the sun. There was part of the presentation when you were not on screen. They went to the guest hosts between the two times that you spoke, the time that you spoke and the time that you fielded questions. And they said something interesting. They said transhumanism that we've just been talking about has its roots in Gnosticism. Do you know what he meant by that?
Oh, yes. This is a very common comment. And perhaps the British philosopher John Gray, who is an atheist, points it out most clearly. Gnosticism was a very ancient perversion, in a way, of Christianity. The idea is that human beings are spirits trapped in a material body, the flesh. And Gnosticism believed that we can get out of that through a special kind of knowledge. Now, in earlier times, of course, that was mystical knowledge and so on. But, of course, these days, it's getting attached to science and technology. And all this idea of downloading onto silicon is a contemporary version of Gnosticism. Let's escape the confines of the body. Look, our bodies are getting older, they will die, and we want to get physical immortality. And that is where Harari comes in. And he says, and it's a very questionable assumption, but he says that the big effort in the 21st century is going to be the attempt to find physical immortality, so that we can escape from the confines of biology. That's what meant by Gnosticism.
I see. So indeed, there is nothing new under the sun. Rather, Gnosticism is just adopted to the technology that we have today.
Well, that's right. It's simply a variant, an advanced and more sophisticated variant of something that's very old.
Very good. You know, there's a clear distinction between the materialistic and the Christian view of AI. You talked about, for example, immortality, the ability of AI to achieve mortality and the promises thereof, and the fact that in Christianity, this is a very foundational idea, that those that embrace Christ as Savior after repenting and deciding to follow Him will have immortal life. We also talked about the superintelligence and the attainment of superintelligence. Well, there is a superintelligence, and that is God Almighty. I was looking in scripture, and maybe you can help me with this, for some sort of verse which actually implied or stated explicitly of mankind's superiority and control over AI. And the verse I found, I think I shared it with you, is in Psalm 8. And it says, "You have made us a little lower than the angels." By the way, I take some pronoun editing changes here. "You have made us a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honor. You made us rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under our feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, and the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea." Now, it doesn't explicitly talk about AI here, but do you think that this or any other place in scripture actually addresses the human superiority and control of AI, which from my knowledge as an engineer is something that's going to happen? AI is only going to do what humans tell it to do. It will always be under humans' control.
The fact that human beings are unique and even more than exceptional, I think is evidenced by the Psalm 8, as you say, that God has crowned us with glory and honor. When we ask ourselves, what exactly does that mean? I think it takes us back to the Genesis account, where humans uniquely are said to be made in the image of God. Now, the heavens declare God's glory. They were not made in his image. Only human beings are. And for me, the most important statement in scripture that forever shows us just how unique human beings are is the statement in John's gospel, "And the Word became flesh." The Word became human. You can tell, let me put it another way, you can tell that humans are unique because God became one. Now, that is a huge statement, and I make it, and I believe it is true. I believe the evidence goes to show that Jesus Christ is precisely whom he claimed to be, God become human. And if God becomes human, that tells us that humans are forever going to be unique. After all, the AI we know about is simply computers that are unintelligent machines doing, as you said, what their human programmers have put into them. That is light years away from being a human being, first of all, and even further away from being God become human.
Very good. In your talk at RZIM, Should We Fear Artificial Intelligence, I got the implication that there was a forthcoming book from John Lennox on AI from the Christian perspective. Is that in planning or not, or did I make that up in what I was listening to?
It's essentially done.
It is done. Okay. When can we expect it?
Well, I would hope within the next months.
Wonderful. Do you have a title for the book yet?
Not exactly, but it might be something like what I used there, Peril or Promise, AI Peril or Promise. But we'll see. I would like to be able to think of a more imaginative title than that.
I see. Yeah, the title is what makes the book. You can't judge a book by the cover, but sometimes you do judge a book by the title. So you have to come up with a clever title. Well, congratulations.
Well, if you have any ideas, let me know.
Okay. I'll give that some head scratching and get maybe come up with some good ideas. Any final thoughts that you have concerning the fear of artificial intelligence that is being hyped on the internet all over the place, and that we're going to be replaced, and all of this other scary stuff, and especially from the Christian perspective?
Well, there are all kinds of areas that need seriously to be discussed, and perhaps you could do it with experts and other programs. There is the whole question of robots, even robots short of AI robots, replacing human workers. And there are all kinds of predictions, very variable, as to how many people will be out of jobs in the near future. And what are we going to do about retraining them? Not everybody will be retrainable to take advantage of all this technology. Then there's the ethics of AI. For example, AI is essential to self-driving vehicles. And the question is, what kind of ethics do you program into them? Because they see an obstacle. The obstacle might be a child. It might be a truck. It might be a line waiting for a bus. And how is it going to be steered? You have to choose the lesser of two evils. How are you going to determine that? And a number of computer scientists are really concerned. Stephen Hawking, for example, the famous physicist who died recently, he was very worried about what AI might do, as are a number of other people. And a big document was signed arguing that we need to think very seriously about what is developing in all these directions. And that's really a discussion for another time. One of the threats that comes through AI is that the facial recognition programs that are used effectively to arrest criminals can also be used for very advanced social control. And here we are, all of us, surrendering voluntarily our position coordinates through tracker built into the GPS on our phone. We're giving vast amounts of information away that can, as we have learned in recent days, all too frequently be hacked into and misused. So the whole moral control of this, automatic weapons, for example, all of that needs to be very seriously thought about at very high levels in our various countries. Otherwise, there are huge dangers waiting for us.
Yes, I agree. I think that the AI and ethics is going to be a big, it's going to be a big topic as AI begins to develop, and we are going to have to make these decisions. And I think that one thing that people are going to have to realize, it is not the AI which is making the decisions. It is actually the programmer. This is confused sometimes. No, it's the programmer and what is put into the artificial intelligence that dictates what it does. So, Dr. Lennox, we are out of time. Wow. Thank you very much for this time that we spent together and all of your insight into what's happening. We're going to look forward to your book. And let me bring it to a close. We've been talking to Dr. John Lennox about, should we fear artificial intelligence and the intersection of artificial intelligence and Christianity? And thank you, Dr. Lennox, again. So until next time, be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.